Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Jared Stillman, so we'll see what happens on that front. Could be Duck and Joe Rex Road after yesterday. A victory for Jared, and he walks off.
Duck at me, that's pretty ducking week, Jared.
We'll be joined by Jared here in just a few minutes. We just have word. By the way, Schefter has put it out. There's this from Michelle Knezvik that NFL legend Tom Brady is in deep discussions to become a limited partner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Sources telling Seth Wickersham and Schefter potentially his second foray into a partnership with Raiders owner Mark Davis on a professional sports franchise in less than 2 months. There we go. So Brady could be getting involved with the Las Vegas Raiders. Joe, your reaction, will he be playing quarterback for the Raiders by 2026?
I know, that's the problem. It's like if he's going to get involved in anything, we're all going to start talking about when he's going to be player owner, you know?
Jimmy G's like, stop following me and being obsessed
alone. With me. Yeah, Jimmy G's like, uh-oh, my days are numbered. I'm going to be benched in 3 games. Well, Brady's gotta stay in. I mean, Brady and Rodgers should just have headline wars, man. They gotta stay in the news. I do hope that this means that that Mark Davis gets a good haircut at some point.
that could be job number one for Tom Brady to figure out when he's in there. Like, hey, man, let's do something about that hair. It's not good, man. We got to do something about that.
If anybody can get him to figure it out, it's Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Let's welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on your victory in Jared versus Joe.
Thank you. It was well earned, as is the praise that I'm about to give Joe, because I did read Joe's piece in The Athletic on Will Levis, and I thought it was two things. One, I thought it was an incredibly fascinating read about Will Levis and about not about Will Levis the quarterback, but more so about Will Levis the kid and where he comes from and things like that. But also the amount of work that I can tell Joe put into that with all the different people that Joe talked to for background on Levis's personality, but Levis's family. And so it was a very well thought out piece, very well written piece, very insightful piece. And it's good because I subscribe to The Athletic and they don't cover the Predators anymore. So at least I got something out of it. Joe, it was a fabulous piece.
I thought we were on a path of just absolute purity in those comments, and then drove it right off the rails at the end there, Joe.
No. Yeah. Well, you gotta get a shot in. Well, I appreciate it. Actually, I'm glad you did. Thanks, Jared. And also I'm now not afraid to read JC in Goodlettsville, who says Jared ever winning in Jared versus Joe is akin to the rigged NHL draft lottery.
Oh, okay.
Station manager directive to let him win occasionally. I don't know if it's true or not. I can't confirm or deny. I don't know. But thank you, Jared.
I have to be honest with you, and honesty is the best quality. I kind of feel like because Joe had won like 4 in a row, I kind of felt like Caroline had predetermined. And I didn't deserve to win, because I do think I deserve to win, but I almost think that I could have said anything and I would have won yesterday. But that was just a feel.
We'll have to try that sometime. If anybody's on a real streak, just really bomb out.
Just go
and see
out
if
there.
Caroline still picks you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me see what happens. Jared, your reaction to the Titans schedule that came out last night. We've identified weeks 2 through 6 as a big test for this team, and you get through London, and then the schedule softens up at least a little bit on paper as we sit here on May the 12th. But what did you think of the Titans schedule?
So I looked at it and I'm like, man, there's a lot of toss-up games on this schedule. And then I realized it's not so much there's a lot of toss-up games. It's that the Titans are a toss-up team.
Yeah.
It feels like when I think about, you know, what I'm expecting them to do this season. Here's what I'd say. Like, all those toss-ups they have early on in the season, they need to win those. Like, at New Orleans, I think that's a toss-up, right? Because New Orleans is going to have a new quarterback, and I'm not sold that New Orleans is a great team, and it'll take a while for Derek Carr to become acclimated with that entire team. But if it takes Tom Brady time to become acclimated with a new team, it's going to take Derek Carr some time. But yet, I don't feel like the Titans should, we should feel entitled that the Titans are going to walk into New Orleans and just beat the Saints. But all of those kind of toss-up games, I feel like they need to win early on, because let's say they lose those and New Orleans is a toss-up, the Chargers is a toss-up, Cleveland's a toss-up. Then they play Cincinnati at home. I'll just assume that they lose that. They'll beat Indianapolis at Indy. So if they lose some of those toss-ups early on, then they're going to London against the Ravens. And I've said this, that if the season is going off the rails after that London game with the bye week following it, I think that they'll have the opportunity to make the quarterback change. And it won't so much be, well, Levis is better than Tannehill. It'll more so be, well, the season's lost anyways. We might as well play Levis. And if that's the case, it's like Teddy Bruschi said yesterday on ESPN, you're not going to win with a rookie quarterback. So those early toss-ups, the games that, you know, aren't really sexy, like no one is saying, oh boy, let's get the group together and go to Cleveland. But that's a really big game on the schedule. So I think if the Titans can weather the storm early on and can really, you know, start fast and win a lot of, you know, win those toss-ups, I think once they get past that London trip, I mean, the back end of the schedule, home games, division games, rookie quarterback games, I don't think it's an awful schedule for how it shapes up at the end. But then again, I mean, as we sit here today, did anybody think the Titans were going to go to Green Bay and smoke the Packers on Thursday Night Football and get doubled up by the Jags? So it's hard to predict these things, to your point, this early in the year.
It is, but I would wager that end of October, rest of the way, right now, from what we know, these teams, that's got to be the easiest schedule in the NFL by far. Like, it's, I mean, it's, to me, it's front loaded. And I agree with you, Jared, except I honestly think it'd be interesting. Like, let's say they're 2-4 after the Ravens game. Unless the Jags are tearing the world up, I think you look at the rest of their schedule and you could still, it's like, man, there's plenty of opportunity there, but there will be calls for Levis. There will be pressure. That would be a really interesting situation because, man, I think they could make a ton of hay on this schedule. And then, of course, what we'll find out is, like, the Panthers are the big turnaround team this year in the NFL, or the Bucs are way better than we thought, whatever. Sure. But it looks incredibly soft to me, especially when you compare this schedule. It's just so different when you're a first-place team in those schedules. And your NFC division isn't the weakest NFC division. I mean, it's an like – the combination of factors here, to me, makes the Titans more of a wild card candidate than I thought they were before I actually went through game by game, if that makes sense.
So I remember when the Titans, you know, Peter King put out his power rankings at the beginning of the week, and the Titans are 18th, which I think is fair. Like, I think the Titans are probably, you know, the 15th, 16th, 17th, 19th, you know, ish best team in the league. Which is why all these games are toss-ups, right? Like, Cleveland's a toss-up because I don't think Cleveland's that good, but I don't think Cleveland's that bad. But the point I guess I'm making is that the Titans were kind of that team going into the 99 season. I remember, Joe, I don't know if you were a big reader of Dr. Z's back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't really a football fan until the Titans became the Titans. I mean, I went to one Oilers game. They lost to Ryan Leaf and the Chargers. And I told my dad I wasn't going back until the new stadium was built. So I became a football fan, and I remember I used to get Sports Illustrated, and Dr. Z had his predictions, and the Titans were middle of the pack. And it was something about, you know, back in those days, maybe the lack of access, but it was like Dr. Z's mock draft and Dr. Z's predictions carried way more weight than anybody else's predictions nowadays. But everybody kind of viewed the Titans going into that 99 season as a very middling team. And the Titans had added Javon Kearse, and they started fast that season. And all of a sudden, you know, they were 13-3 and ultimately in the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here, but I do think the Titans are sitting in that spot where it is this, you know, I mean, they're probably going to be 9-8 or whatever. And then that's where those toss-up games, or really week two versus the Chargers at home, that's where those become really big games, because I think that if the Titans can start fast, they can be a team that surprises people. What we have to remember is that the Titans last year had everything wrong happen to them, and they still had a decent team. I mean, they were still 2 minutes and 40 seconds away from the playoffs in a, you know, what I thought was, I didn't think it was as questionable of a fumble call at the time as I did when I saw Josh Allen do the same thing in the playoffs against Cincinnati and they call it the other way. But, I mean, I think that the Titans are not in a great spot, but to your point, that second place schedule and everything else, they could be a surprise team this year.
Jared, last thing here for you, and I want to switch gears really quick because you heard our interview with Barry Trotz the other day and you heard the comments that he made. My question for you is, like, if Barry Trotz and the Predators wanted John Hines back and that was their plan, why would they have not said so to this point? And with the more days that are passing by here, with more information and more coaches becoming available, how has that changed the way that you view John Hines and his security coming back for next year?
So Elliot Friedman said this on the Midday Show last week, and it was that Barry Trotz is kind of the unknown wild card here, that if it were David Poyle, he'd have more of a feel as to what was going to happen with John Hines. And I think back to how I felt when they started winning games at the end of the year, and I think you and I talked about this off the air, Robbie, and I said they're going to keep him. And I had Barry Trotz on, like, the season ended on a Friday, and I had Barry Trotz on Thursday, and I asked Barry about Hines' future, and I really thought there was a pretty good chance Barry was going to say on the show that John Hines was coming back. And he didn't. And then there was the press conference, and they had John Hines up there, and so I kind of figured if they have John Hines up there, like, John Hines is coming back. And then they asked him, and Barry wouldn't say that he was. And then Barry said to you the other day that he's still evaluating, and, I mean, they haven't played a game for a month, so I don't know what there has been to evaluate in the last – what there's still left to evaluate from Barry's standpoint. I believe Barry wants to fire John Hines. And I think if somebody wants to fire somebody, they're going to fire somebody. My gut is Barry's got it circled to one or two guys. It might be Carl Taylor, though I did talk to somebody in the Predators organization that said to me, now this may just be their opinion and not the team's opinion, but they said to me that they don't think Carl Taylor's ready to be an NHL coach. So maybe it's not Carl Taylor. But Adam Vingan has been pumping the tires on this Spencer Carberry from Toronto. And apparently there's going to be a lot of teams that might be interested in Spencer Carberry. And it would not surprise me if Barry gets the yay or nay from the guy that he's looking for. In this case, let's just say it's Carberry. You know, Barry gets the yay or nay. And when Barry gets the yay, then they call John in the office and they fire him. Or if he gets the nay, then they say, okay, John will be back, and Barry is kind of looking for his guy. Whether it's, you know, if Lane Lambert gets fired in New York after next year or something like that, Barry will wait to take his swing and not just jump to hire a coach to hire a coach, but I do think he wants to fire John Hines.
Jared, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your victory this week over Joe, and have a good weekend.
Well, I mean, you got to tell me how you guys feel.
Well, I agree. We talked about this the other day. Like, I, the fact that they have not said – that he's coming back yet, the more I think about it, the more I think that there's a person out there or maybe one or two guys that Barry Trotz has his eye on. Otherwise, like, at some point, and somebody told this to me, like, you know, at some point, if you're trying to spin it, if he's coming back, it's like, well, did you really want him? Because you left him out kind of out to dry for a month there at that point. So I think Barry Trotz has his eye on somebody.
There you go. All right. Good to see you guys. See, right. See everybody today at 2 o'clock. Schedule takes galore.
Oh, looking forward to it. Coming up at 2 o'clock today. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to Jared Stillman and what he had to say there. Get back into the Titans coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. We will have C. Thomas Howell coming up at 7:30. Joe, I've discovered that C. Thomas Howell was in basically like all of my favorite shows of all time. He's in,
really?
Yeah, he's in The Walking Dead. He's in Longmire on Netflix. He's in a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh,
don't forget Tommy The Outsiders. Howell, though, right?
But do we call him Tommy Howell?
I mean, yeah, that's probably what I'm going to call him.
Okay.
I think he'd get mad at me. We'll see. But Tommy Howell, look, the event that he's playing coming up, which we're going to talk a lot about in the next segment, it's called Tommy Howell and Friends, so I feel pretty good about Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a I would like to know when this the switch happens, so maybe I'll ask that question.
Maybe so. Looking forward to that.
Get excited.
Coming up at 7:30. Jared, with apparently a bunch of schedule takes coming up at 2:00 today. It is interesting. Like he brought up like a lot of toss up games for the Titans because it kind of feels like the Titans are a toss up team. I would largely agree with that. I mean, look, I brought up the first part of the schedule for the Titans where you're on the road at New Orleans, L.A., Cleveland, and Cincinnati the first four games. I said it earlier, I don't think this will happen, but I could absolutely see 0-4 there. Like, I mean, it's you know, you got Justin Herbert, you've got Deshaun Watson, you've got Joe Burrow that you have to play, you know, Derek Carr taking over in a new situation in New Orleans. So I would assume the Titans are going to get at least one or two of those games, but 0-4 definitely within the realm of possibility for me. Maybe I'm being too negative.
No, it's possible. It's certainly possible. The opener in particular is an opportunity. You're right. It's Derek Carr's debut, and that Superdome can rock. And it's all you know. Everybody's got a lot of hope on opening day. I don't think the Saints are very good. You got to win that one. The Browns one is interesting because, like Jared said, yeah, people may not you know get all excited, but man, that's Cleveland again. Like Deshaun Watson is the most. I have no idea what he is player.
Yep.
And I know what he is off the field, but as a player, no idea. And that team has a very good roster, very good roster. So I could see Cleveland actually being a player in the AFC this year. No one ever talks about them, you know, but they have that kind of roster, I think. So that's a tough one. No, you're not. 0-4 is certainly possible. If that's the case, well, then
it's gonna get loud.
Start the Levis train. Yeah,
gonna get very loud. Rob on the text line says, "My reaction to Jared, he was somewhat positive about the Titans, talking about they could be a surprise team. Little Jared is growing up, and it makes me so proud." This is from Rob on the text line.
An unnamed texter said, "Jared couldn't hang up until you said I love you too."
That is true. He was very excited to hear my thoughts on the Barry Trotz thing after that. By the way, I had a texter that asked about the July 1st thing. I get it, like officially July 1st, Barry Trotz is taking over, but I can promise you that's not a factor here. Like it's if he wanted to move on or hire somebody, they're not waiting until July 1st when he officially takes over to do that.
Yeah, that one is starting to become what's that? That's the new what?
It's a good question.
Like, there's just like you know, I get it. Like, strength I get why people coach. Think that. Yeah, kind of.
The plane from Green Bay.
Well, I don't know if anything can match the plane from Green Bay.
It's Giatika.
But it's just one of those, like, I get why you think that. But if you really step back and think about it, yeah, he's in charge. Like, oh, well, now I can find. All right, now we're switching to Folgers crystals in that coffee machine. It's July 1st. I'm done sitting here and just taking it all these weeks. Now I'm in charge. I'm the captain now. You know.
I mean, it kind of sounds awesome to think about it that way, though.
Yeah, it does. But it's like, yeah. I mean, he's doing the job. He's doing the job right now. He had a chance to say John Hines. He had a chance. He was asked at a press conference. It was Barry Trotz who was asked this. John Hines, he the coach next year? And then you asked him again. I mean, like he could say, guys, July 1st, you can ask me that question.
Right.
Now, on that day, I can – but right now, I'm speaking until spoken to on all matters in the organization. Organization. No, that's not reality.
Yeah, that's not reality. It is very interesting. I mean, Joe, the more I've thought about this, the more I wonder if, you know, here in the next couple of days and weeks – the other part of this is – like, you look at all the openings right now, like, Washington hasn't hired anybody yet. You know, obviously the Rangers haven't hired anybody yet. Like, the hiring part of this around the league hasn't really kicked off yet. At some point, that's going to happen, and teams are going to start hiring coaches here as they move into, you know, obviously the NHL draft is next month. You're going to have your coach in place by then. So, you know, we're not that far away from people starting to hire coaches around the league, and I wonder – what exactly that looks like, whether it's Carberry or somebody else that Trotz would have his eye on. But the more you think about it, the more I think that that could be a possibility. And, you know, if you're Barry Trotz, the way that he's played it thus far is if you do have your eye on somebody that you want, great. You can go try to get him. If it doesn't work, I think you've left yourself enough wiggle room where John Hines can be back next year.
Yeah, with a ringing endorsement.
Yes, yes.
So, by the way, Vingan, faithful listener from 6:00 in the morning.
Yes.
Did want to correct himself. Carberry was the ECHL coach in the Caps organization when Barry was there. He was elevated to AHL after Barry left.
Correct.
Not that that really matters, but just to make sure that we have it accurate. And I do wonder, like, is he a coveted guy who multiple teams are waiting on right now?
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, first off, they play tonight. Toronto does in Florida. So can they stay alive and extend the series? The game is in Toronto tonight. So
yeah, they're home. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see if they can stay alive tonight in game five. They did win game four. They're down 3-1 in the series. So they got an uphill battle. But if they get eliminated, like if Spencer Carberry is of interest to the Predators or of several different teams around the league, how quickly does that kind of coaching domino take place after that? It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and it's just like I went to 49, and it's again, we're going to get this press release, and it's like, John Hines, 3-year extension.
Right.
And it's going to be like, why do we go down these rabbit holes? But, man, I don't think that we're off base with this one. I really don't. I don't think that this is an irresponsible hot take about the situation. I mean, I if you're John Hines right now, you can't feel good about this.
Yep.
I
don't think so either. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by C. Thomas Howe, actor and musician. He's got a cool event coming up here in Nashville beginning tomorrow. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by actor and musician C. Thomas Howe. So looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes. By the way, Joe, somebody on the text line has pointed out to you that C. Thomas Howe was in Red Dawn. So educational day for you.
No, it's not an education. Are you kidding me?
I was joking.
Oh my God, I immediately was like, no, duh. I mean, I saw that movie like 5 times in the theater, bro.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen the new Red Dawn.
They have to
remake every freaking movie, but how could you improve on perfection?
Yeah. The first one is much better. The new one's, it's all right, but the first one is much better.
In fact, I believe it was C. Thomas's character who drank the deer blood, right?
I believe so.
Yes. I won't Spoiler even alert. Ask, Michelle. I will not even ask.
Yeah, you already know the answer, guys. I did see The Outsiders, though. I did see
all
that.
Right, all right. Oh, good. Now, have you seen E.T.?
Yeah.
Okay.
That movie used to freak me out as a kid.
It's an all-time great movie. That's his first movie.
Yeah. We had somebody talking about C. Thomas Howe and Criminal Minds and how he was really terrifying in that. I can't say that I've seen that, but the guy's been in a lot of things. A lot of things.
Yeah, for sure. No, and cool that he's gone the music route, you know. Have to check that out.
Yep, looking forward to that. We'll be joined by him coming up here in just a few minutes. Maddie on the text line says, is there a no tampering rule in the NHL, i.e. could Trotz have already reached out to Spencer Carberry? Yes, there is a tampering rule, so you cannot reach out to him legally.
Now, does that mean that intermediaries don't get involved in conversations?
Yeah.
Yeah. I suspect that happens from time to time.
We got a texter that says the Bruins haven't fired anybody yet. I don't think Jim Montgomery's going to get fired. They did win 65 games in the regular season.
that'd be a move.
That would be. Now, it is interesting to think about them because, you know, is Bergeron going to retire? Is Krejci going to step away again? Like, a part of why they're really good is they got those two guys for, like, absurdly cheap contracts. So, you know, Jim Montgomery, I think, is a good coach, but probably not going to be as successful as he was this past season as they move forward here. And the playoff window is kind of like that kind of felt like it was it for the Bruins, and now they're going to have to kind of revamp themselves moving forward.
Yeah, look, man, so what is it? What's the line? What's the President's Trophy line? Is 118 points? Is that right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, if you get that many points, you have a team has never won the Stanley Cup that many or more.
Which is wild to think about.
And, I mean, I hate to be that guy, but I think that if I was in that situation, I would tank to stay under 118. I mean, at some point, you go with the math.
Well, it's interesting because there are, like, two schools of thought on it. Number one, it's they're spending, like, particularly this year, like the case of the Bruins, and I remember people thinking this way with the Predators, too. Like, you're expending so much energy to win and to be the number one overall seed heading into the playoffs that it catches up to you by playoff time. And then there's the other school of thought that, like, you clinch things so early and then you stop playing and you try to rest, and it's hard to ramp it back up by playoff time, too. It's a tough needle to thread as a coach.
I think there is truth to that last thing. I really do. Like, you obviously don't want to be totally beat up and exhausted and everything like that, and there's value in rest, but I think a team that gets into the kind of rhythm they got into this year, like, it's such a departure in the last month of the season, right? And then you just have the massive pressure. I mean, the pressure and the history adds to the pressure too.
Yep, no question about that. Do you think the Leafs stay alive tonight, Joe, in the playoffs?
I was shocked they stayed alive last time out.
I was too. But in a way, it's kind of poetic justice.
I kind of do feel like they will.
Oh, see, I think they're done tonight.
You think they're done? Yeah, they're probably done.
They can
set
the stage back at home in Toronto to lose in front of their own fans. In a way, I think that's just more poetic tonight.
That's a good point. Let's everybody all gather together to let's all confirm this with our own eyes. Like, this is it. The core four. Yeah, like, big changes are coming. But, I mean, they may actually – look, I sit here and talk about this here franchise that I'm drinking the coffee cup.
Yeah.
1957. I mean, 1967 is not that much. I mean, you know, so maybe there's something. There's just something in the water, man.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Lots of thoughts to get to throughout the show on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in actor and musician C. Thomas Howell. Beginning his residency coming up at City Winery tomorrow, backstage with Tommy Howell and Friends, featuring the cast of Cobra Kai, Karate Kid, and The Outsiders. Mr. Howell, good morning. How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So tell us about what's going on at City Winery beginning tomorrow and what you've got coming together over there in the next couple of weeks here.
It's just a dream come true, to be honest with you. You know, I started playing music a few years ago, and a big part of that, a part of my show is storytelling. And growing up, one of my favorite moments on TV were those old variety shows, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Johnny Cash shows or the John Denver shows. They were musically driven, and they'd bring on some of their friends or guests and perform some comedy sketches and just talk about life in general and working together. And I have missed that over the years and started thinking, well, what would happen if I sort of brought some of the people that I worked with together with some of the contemporary musicians of today. I live in Nashville, of course, and kind of use that platform to share a few laughs and play some music and have a good time together. And you know, it was just an idea at first that everybody seemingly has embraced. And we're kicking off on Saturday, and my first guest is the cast of Cobra Kai. And we're going to be talking about what it's like to work on that show. And, of course, I've worked with all those people over the years. And we'll have a few laughs about some of the things that we've done together and play some music. And, of course, at the City Winery, there's good food and drink. And the family can all come and reach out and meet the people that they've watched on television and listen to some new tunes from myself. And we always got some great guests coming up there that we don't announce. And there's a surprise for everybody every show, and we're just kicking off on Saturday. We'll be doing it generally every Friday over at the City Winery. So it's just a great platform to have a great time.
So, Tommy, I have a few quick questions for you. When did you switch to Tommy? When did you get into music? When did you move to Nashville? And could you describe your musical style to us? I know that's a bunch at once.
You know, it's funny. COVID kicked in a few years back. And, of course, I didn't want to get on the other side of that thing with a degree in drinking. So I picked up a guitar and started to play, basically motivated from an idea that I have brewing it was a movie originally that I wanted to do, sort of a, for this conversation, a take on Tender Mercies, but my own version of that. Mm. And, you know, I grew up in a rural environment. My father was a professional bull rider for 10 years, and rodeo and cowboying and ranching is a big part of our lives. And I started to play the guitar and realized I had a bit of a knack for writing songs. And what happened was, spending 40 years in Hollywood and telling stories in a two-hour format really allowed a seamless transition into a two-minute format. And when I started to get in front of people, there seemed to be a real value in sharing my stories that I, of course, never thought would carry any weight. And lo and behold, this thing just sort of caught fire, and we've just been having the time of our lives. Now, going to the Tommy thing, I've always been called Tommy. C. Thomas Howell was sort of a union thing. My father's in the same union. We have the same name, and it was either that or be a junior. And when I was younger, my father just hung the initial on me. And when I transitioned into music, especially into country music, I didn't want to create. I just wanted to be much more approachable. And there's, you know, I've never been able to play myself ever. I've always hidden behind roles and makeup and lenses and storylines. But when I'm up on stage, I get to be me. And I'm not C. Thomas Howell. Nobody calls me that. Everybody's always called me Tommy my whole life. So we just decided to punt the C. And in fact, I tried to do it a long time ago in film, and most of the producers won't let me do it anymore. The marketing is, you know, I've been around since dirt. So some people tend to, you know, hold on to that. But this was just a great opportunity for me to be myself and present who I really am. So we just decided to go with the Tommy Howell, and it's been just a real blast, to tell you the truth.
Well, Tommy, your debut album, American Storyteller, is now out. What was it like putting that together, and what did you kind of learn about putting together an album in the music industry there?
You know, the beauty of what I'm doing is I don't have to sell anything. I'm not trying to be famous. I don't have suits or a label behind me pushing me. It's just been a beautiful snowball that has collected as we've been rolling downhill. And to be honest, y'all, the only thing that I focused on is staying out of my own way. I'm not trying to manipulate anything. I'm not trying to force anything. I've just been, you know, sort of like that popcorn eating emoji, watching the whole damn thing take place, and nobody's been more excited than me. You know, I'm just am surprised all the time and every day when a new invite comes around. For example, we'll be playing Sturgis this year. We opened up for Tanya Tucker in Tulsa a couple months back, and these invitations just keep coming, and I keep growing as an artist, and more importantly, as a person. And I'm just going out there and wrapping my arms around people and having a damn good time. And the thing just keeps on going. So I'm just really trying to stay out of my own way, to be honest with you. And it's just been a real blast.
That is awesome. Tommy, I do want to say, you know, my youngest is a seventh grader. She just read The Outsiders, as many of us did in seventh grade. And then she just watched the movie The Outsiders. And when I told her that we may have you on the show, she was like, no, I need to meet him, because she is she's in love with Pony Boy, you know, from 1983, as many were.
Bless her heart. I tell you what, it's one of my favorite things to do. Every year I get a new batch of 13, 14-year-old little girls that have read the book and seen the movie, and they start reading see on social media, and they're crying because Johnny has passed away. And then they find out Pony Boy is 56, and the tears start really rolling.
Is there a particular role?
Not to interrupt, but no joke. If when we're done, if you reach out to the people that put this together for us, I'll make sure I sign something for her. I'll sign a book for her and send it out to you. And it'd be my pleasure to do that.
No, I really appreciate that. Is there a particular role through your career of acting that you're especially proud of or you're especially enjoyed?
You know, reinventing yourself as an artist through the years is so important and not an easy thing to do. And, you know, Hollywood tends to not be able to think for themselves very well. And I played a role in Criminal Minds called The Reaper, and I never really had a chance to play the villain before. And suddenly, when that came out, I was offered villains all the time. I really feel like my latest role is probably my favorite. It's a show on Netflix called Obliterated that won't be out until fall. It was created and produced by the same producers and writers from Cobra Kai. It's sort of an action adventure / comedy. And for this conversation, picture the series 24 meeting the movie Hangover. So
wow,
I play a member of an elite team that's put together by the government to go locate a dirty bomb that's being sold on the black market in Vegas. And basically, we did 8 episodes. And the very first episode, we find the bomb halfway through. It's dismantled. And my character, being the wacky guy that he is, decides to spike the guacamole and wipe out his team with some acid and mushrooms. And everybody's freaking out when they get a phone call that was the decoy bomb. And we now have 5 hours to find the real bomb, and everybody's annihilated. And boy, I tell you, it was the time of my life. I'm so proud of that cast. It's one of the most fun projects that I've ever been a part of, and I'm super excited for it to come out, and I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yep, very much looking forward to that. Backstage with Tommy Howell and Friends featuring the cast of Cobra Kai, underway tomorrow at City Winery. You can buy tickets for that at citywinery.com. Tommy, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Have fun starting tomorrow over at City Winery, and we'll see you soon.
Sure. Thank you guys for this time, and have a great day, everybody.
Absolutely. Tommy Howell, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, looking forward to that. The musical taste going from acting, and obviously he's still doing some acting work, as he just talked about there with the series on Netflix coming out later this fall, but switching from acting to music.
I know. Yeah. I'm excited to go check that out. I love that venue. That's a really cool place if people haven't been there. And yeah, it should be awesome. And the show sounds awesome too.
Does sound awesome. And the cast of Cobra Kai, I know that's enough to, like, my dad is hooked already with Cobra Kai. Makes sense. So we're there. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Rolling down the street in a Hyundai Tucson. Wonder why you married a two. Laid back.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad here on Robbie and Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, in this case 7:50. Thanks to Tommy Howell for joining us in the last segment here. Joe, the look of disgust on your face every time this song is played is music to my ears, a wonderful sight to behold.
I mean, there's got to be elimination of that, right? Can we eliminate that?
Rolling down the street in a Hyundai. It's a great tune, Joe.
You nailed it.
The thing is, that was going pretty well, and then like the last verse I got off like schedule, and then I was like, yeah, I should have just taped this. Next one, I don't know, like going live with that is whew. But you know, there's
we'll
a lot
go recording
of
studio next
I
time
do. Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. There's something to the rawness of that, though, too, you know, like of having to be live and having that situation. So time for, and just, you know, embarrassing yourself, which I'm very good at. But I want to quickly, there's a serious topic I wanted to get into. I'll do it quickly. Matt Araiza, you know, San Diego State, you know, punter, NFL dream. I think he'd be a great punter in the NFL right now. Cut by the Bills, signed a big deal. Of course, there was he was sued in a civil case in essentially, you know, taking part in a gang rape. And so credit to Dan Wetzel, friend of the show. That's the first I read of this.
Yeah,
that there's evidence that this is not true. And look, it's still very much a situation to me that I don't personally feel comfortable saying anything absolutely definitively. Just, like, we never know what happens in these situations. We rely on the authorities, okay? And they really, that's what you must do. And ultimately, as everybody knows or should know, there are plenty of sexual assaults where no charges are ever brought. There's not enough evidence for charges. It does not mean the sexual assault didn't happen. I'm not applying that to this. I'm just saying in general, you really have to, you just rely on the authorities. So there's been a lot of other stories. And frankly, if it's true that like he had nothing to do, he wasn't there, that's the new information. Absolutely. His NFL career should be restored.
Yeah.
I mean, if 100%, one thing about this that bothers me, there's a lot of backlash too, like toward the media on how they covered this. And first of all, like I've seen a lot of like, oh, no one's going to talk about this now. It's like, well, no, that's not true. With Wetzel, again, credit to him. Wetzel's one of the best sports journalists in the country, really dug in on it. And I you can find stories on this at just about every outlet now. Like, I don't know what you expect media who are covering this to do. Like, you have information that, again, you're leaning on the authority, you're leaning on official documentation that you can gather. Like, I understand there's a social media thing, like, oh, get him off the face of the earth or whatever. That's different than media covering it. Okay,
right.
I mean, to me, there's nothing that has been done wrong by media. Here's new information, now here's new stories about it. So I've seen a lot of like, you know, the group think, and everybody didn't want to, you know, they just wanted to say, get rid of him because they're afraid to say the truth. It's like, but who knew that? Like, this is new information. And so that bothered me about it. Again, you know, as often is the case, I'm going to defend media and a lot of things. Media is far from perfect, and some people in media are terrible, but the idea that this was like, you know, something that someone withheld or didn't do the job on is just, it's just not true. It's not accurate. Now, you know, we have new information now. And again, I hope he gets back in the NFL. If that's the case, I think he will. I think that just because at one point the world, and in particular the social media world, decided that he needed to just go away forever, does not mean that people can't, there can't be new information. People can't change their minds. So that's really what I wanted to say about it.
Yep, really serious situation. Like you said, shout out to Dan Wetzel for reporting that. He was the first place where I saw this too. And like you said, I mean, if you get through the information here and it turns out that, you know, he wasn't there, and that turns out to be true, then yeah, he should be back in the NFL. I mean, he's 22 years old and he's got a heck of a leg for sure. So we'll see how the rest of that situation plays out. But certainly that's been a big topic in the NFL this week. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the schedule released yesterday, Will Levis, and more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.